Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have now entered the last 2 weeks of Lent. We have been preparing for this. From the outset of Jesimatide, we have begun to pack away what we think of as essential parts of our service. We packed away our Alleluias, that song of rejoicing in Christ's resurrection. We packed away the Gloria in Excelsis, that song that the angels sang at the birth of the Christ. And today we also pack away our Gloria Patri. Today we sit and gather in a church where the cross of Christ has now been veiled, where it has been obscured from our eyes until the day when it was once again unveiled on Good Friday, when that cross will stand before our eyes and we shall see exactly what Christ has done as we remember his sacrifice on our behalf. We have a spoken liturgy today. In penitence, we approach the Lord, until on Easter, we once again sing out all of these beautiful words in joy. But until then, we hear the truth that is Jesus Christ. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus makes an accusation against the Jews in front of him. He tells them that their father is not the one that they think, but rather that their father is the devil, the father of lies, not the father of the truth. And really, in order to get a better handle on our text, I want to go back a few verses before our assigned text begins. I want to start at verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. That context is important because it gives further amounts of this discussion that they are having that day. We see Jesus outright tell them, no, just because you have the blood from Abraham does not actually make you his children. For Abraham believed in the truth. Abraham believed the promise swore to him by God. He believed these things, and you deny them. You live as though you matter most. You obey your own laws as opposed to seeing the truth of God's word. This is what you are doing, Jews. This is why you seek to kill me. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. This accusation that they threw at him, we were not born of fornication, we have one Father God. They heard the stories. Many believed that Joseph was, in fact, the father of Jesus. But Joseph is the earthly guardian of Jesus. For God knows how important a father is. And so he raises his son, knowing that this son is from God. God is the Father. Not through blood for us, but through adoption. We have been brought into God's family, even though we are not a part of that blood. But he washes us in his blood. In the blood of Jesus, we have been washed. We have been purchased. That blood pours over us in water with the word of Jesus, that we are made children of the Most High God. If God were your Father, you would love me. Do we love Jesus? We know he loves us. We sing of it often. Jesus loves me, this I know. Lord, thee I love with all my heart. We just sang those words, but are they actually true? Your quick answer is absolutely I love Jesus. What I want you to think about today is this the Jesus that is of the Scriptures, or is this the Jesus that you have made up in your own minds? Because the truth is that there are two Jesus out there. There is the true Jesus, the actual Jesus, the God who took on flesh, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect, sinless life, and died on the cross, and on that third day rose from the dead, 40 days later ascended into heaven, and will return to judge the living and the dead. That's the true Jesus. But so often, especially in our own day, people make up their own type of Jesus. Well, my Jesus wouldn't act like that. My Jesus would have been just a nice guy all the time. Jesus is a good, godly man. He is a nice man, but he also speaks the truth. That truth offends, especially pricking the hearts of sinners. If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. There is only one Jesus, but all sorts of this Jesus have been cast aside to follow our own hearts. My Jesus would look at my sin and say, oh, it's okay, you're trying your best. My Jesus would say, it's okay to skip out on church. My Jesus would say, I can just worship at home or whenever I want. I don't need to gather with those people. That's not what the true Jesus says. You hear his voice. You hear his call. You come to where that voice is proclaimed. Why do people not understand Jesus' speech? Why do people close themselves off from the Word of God? Because they do not truly believe. The Word of God can be read. It can be proclaimed to anyone, anywhere, anytime. But only through the faith, the eyes of faith, given by the Holy Spirit, can we truly understand what is proclaimed therein. Can we truly see that the salvation belongs in Jesus Christ and no one else? You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. A fallen world turns its hearts away from the truth. It wants to live by the lies of its father, the devil. But you, dear children of God, have been set apart. You have been called to live apart from the ways of the world. You have been called to hear the voice of your Savior, to believe it, to repent from your sins, to return to him and find life. There are really many religions out there, or at least many different names of religions out there. And today I want to spend a little bit of time on that, especially given the February issue of Lutheran Witness from the Synod here, as it goes through an introduction of each of these different world religions. It's only an introduction, but it's helpful to kind of see where some of these other religions lie. And as I was reviewing it, I was astonished at some of the numbers that we are facing. Give consideration to this. At the current time, there are roughly 7 billion people on the face of the earth. Over 1.8 billion of them are Muslims. That is a huge amount of people who are following the teachings of Muhammad. Now, in America, 2 to 4% of people claim to be atheists or agnostics. That is, there is no God, or if there is a God, I hate him. So oftentimes this comes when we are spurned, when something terrible or tragic happens in our lives and we hate God for it. It can turn our anger so deeply at him that we then reject him outright. Meanwhile, in the 10-year span, between 2009 and 2019, again in America, those who claimed no affiliation to a specific religion went from just under 15% to now over 20%. And when you add in the last 3 years, after the world lost its mind, the amount of people who have rejected church or an affiliation with an organized religion has increased substantially after that as well. It is popular now to be spiritual, but not religious. It is popular now to believe that we can make up our own religions. Where the terms atheist used to be derogatory, people now proudly claim it for themselves. We live in different times. We live in an increasing time and disparity against God and His Word. There are more and more people leaving the Christian church and churches throughout the world in droves to follow their own hearts, their own gods. And sometimes they throw Jesus into the mix and say, hey, you know that Jesus, I like a lot of what he had to say. He was all about peace and love. I can get behind that. What a nice guy he is. All around you, you see the phrase, be kind. And that's a good phrase. That's a good thing to do. A Christian is called to live and treat people with respect because they are a person created by God and they are a person that Jesus Christ decided to die for. But that be kind mantra comes from a secular humanistic standpoint that looks to make mankind the God. That you all are God. That this is the most important thing in your existence is the people around you. These people are extremely important, but no one is more important than the God man. There are multiple religions out there that confess that there is a real Jesus, that Jesus was a real man who lived, who died. In fact, Islam believes that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. They confess that. Modern day Jews also confess that Jesus existed, that he was a good moral teacher. But here's the problem with that philosophy. Either Jesus Christ is God who took upon the sins of the world for you and for all because he loves you, and then he rose again on the third day, or he isn't. C.S. Lewis, in his Mere Christianity, put it this way. I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sorts of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God, but let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. A great moral teacher doesn't sit and talk lies day after day after day. And if Jesus isn't who he said he was, then that's exactly what he would have done. He would have been spewing lies. But the fact is that Jesus is exactly who he said he was. He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He is from the beginning and without end. And he has come to die for their sins. And your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. There is salvation in no one else. There is not a single other religion that can save. There is not a single other belief system that can save you from eternal death. God himself organized this religion. Jesus Christ shed his blood to purify his bride, the church. And so, yes, we will gather week after week after week until Christ returns, that we will never have to worry about what goes on in this world again. There is salvation in no other, St. Peter said in Acts chapter 4, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. All of those other religions are really just one big religion founded by their father, the father of lies, the devil. And while there may appear to be some truths in them, ultimately either Jesus is God or he isn't. And if he is, he demands to be worshipped. And if he is, he demands you to follow him. And if he is, he gives you the breath of life. And he calls you to himself. And he builds you up after tearing down your sin and replacing your heart of stone with a living, beating heart for him. Our Old Testament lesson today is one of the hardest ones to hear. No one wants to hear of a man about to sacrifice his son, and on top of it, it being because God told him to do it. That's exactly what we see. We see Abraham taking his son up on a mountain, and his son asking the question, I see the fire, I see the wood, but where is the lamb? And Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb. Abraham had to go forward and tie his son down and take the knife. And at the last minute, God did provide a sacrificial lamb. He told Abraham, do not do this, for now I know that you love me. You have followed my commands and my words. And there behind him in the thicket was a ram for slaughter. God himself has provided the lamb for sacrifice. You are no longer sacrificed. I am no longer sacrificed. Rather, the lamb was slain once and for all on the cross on Calvary. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ has taken Isaac's place, and he has taken our place. Abraham got to hear his voice that day. He got to see the day of the Lord, and he got to rejoice. All those who are of God hear his word. Jesus said, he who is of God hears God's word. Hear his word and believe. The church sings, and when, dear Lord, before thy throne in heaven, to me the crown of joy at last is given. Where sweetest hymns thy saints forever raise thee, I too shall praise thee. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.